Federal immigration law is largely a 20th century idea, and it's really a moving target. In the 1900s, immigration was handled mostly by the states, but it was chaotic, it was contradictory, and it was universally felt, or almost universally, that the federal government needed to step in. And it did. President Benjamin Harrison named Ellis Island as the intake point for immigrants, and more than 12 million came to the U.S. through Ellis Island's doors. But the debate over immigration is no longer focused on the East Coast. It's mostly turned south to the border with Mexico. And in recent weeks, we've heard the Supreme Court's decision to uphold most of the SB 1070 immigration law in Arizona.
Civil rights will be protected. Racial profiling will not be tolerated.
In fact, the Supreme Court struck down more than half of the law, but upheld certain key points of it. And then earlier, President Obama announced that hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants who came to the country as children can remain in the country under the DREAM Act.
Let's be clear. This is not amnesty. This is not immunity. This is not a path to citizenship. It's not a permanent fix. This is a temporary stopgap measure that lets us focus our resources wisely while giving a degree of relief and hope to talented, driven, patriotic young people.
But it's very difficult to kind of get a handle on immigration policy from the Obama administration because some of the messages seem to be contradictory. On one case, he's giving the kids brought here as children the right to stay in the country. On the other hand, he's deported more immigrants than any other president. Joining us now, Daniel Kanstrom, professor of law at Boston College, author of Aftermath, which is a new book on deportation law and the new American diaspora. So first of all, I mean, as I mentioned, immigration has really kind of been a recent topic of argument. Why do you think it is now so controversial? Is it because it's not Europeans immigrating, but it's often Latinos?
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I do think that's a big part of the problem that we're facing today in the immigration debate. But I would also say that part of the dissonance that you're sensing between what the administration is trying to do and what people are talking about reflects a peculiar quality of how we have come to understand what the immigration debate in this country is. You often get the sense that there's been little or no real enforcement taking place, that the situation is completely out of control. But the fact is that there's another reality that's been true for quite some time in this country, and that is that we've actually been engaged in a radical social experiment with massive deportation enforcement. It's a very peculiar thing, both historically and comparatively, and it's especially strange for a nation of immigrants, which is what we still call ourselves. So I think there's always been this tension throughout United States history, but it's gotten particularly strenuous in the last few years because both of increased migration across the southern border, but also because of a lack of understanding of what's really been going on in this deportation system. And as I try to show in the book that I wrote about this, this system has actually affected hundreds of thousands of people per year, millions actually since the experiment began, have been deported. And so there has been massive enforcement. And that's part of the peculiarity that we're dealing with when we try to wrap our minds around what should be done about this situation.
And it's sort of a political high wire act for the Obama administration. Let's listen to a comment that the president made yesterday when he was at a citizenship ceremony. And he actually talked about his deportation policy.
For just as we remain a nation of laws, we have to remain a nation of immigrants. And that's why, as another step forward, we're lifting the shadow of deportation from deserving young people who were brought to this country as children. It's why we still need a DREAM Act to keep talented young people who want to contribute to our society and serve our country.
And yet this is still a president who's deporting about 400,000 immigrants every year. How are we to understand the current policy?
Actually, it's more than 400,000. The 400,000 number counts mostly the formal deportations. If you count a variety of informal mechanisms or less formal mechanisms, things with names like expedited removal and reinstatement of removal, there's a whole alphabet soup of acronyms and programs. We're up around 1 million per year of deportation events. But I think the president highlights the correct tension here. On the one hand, we are a nation of law as well. but we are also a nation of immigrants. I think part of the problem is that some people have advocated a very rigid conception of what the rule of law is supposed to be. And I contend that the rule of law always must contain a certain amount of discretion. And part of the problem is that the Congress eliminated a lot of that discretion in 1996 changes to the immigration laws. And this has resulted in a system that is very harsh, very rigid, and very disproportionate. And I do commend the administration for trying to do something to stem that tide. But the fact is that without congressional movement on this, without a comprehensive immigration reform policy, it's very difficult for the president to articulate a legitimate solution that can be done by the executive branch alone. Although, as I say, I do think this is a good first step. We should also note, though, that, as I said before, hundreds of thousands of people, many of whom were long-term legal permanent residents of the United States, have already been deported. And many of them were deported pursuant to legal interpretations that have now been found by the Supreme Court to have been wrong. That is to say, the government was extremely overzealous in a lot of these cases in the first years of this experiment. And so now, when I travel around the world in places like Haiti and the Dominican Republic, Guatemala, the Azores, Cambodia, actually everywhere around the world, you find these American communities, people who were born and raised in the, not born, sorry, but who were raised in the United States, who grew up here, who speak English as their primary language, and who found themselves deported and who are now separated from their U.S. citizen children, often from their parents, from their loved ones, and they have no way back. And I think that's part of the story that we need to factor into all of this as well.
And it's really kind of the basis for your book, Aftermath, is the idea not only that it has a profound effect on those individuals, but in the end it has a profound effect on American culture. How is that?
Well, we are now seeing children. In fact, we've been doing studies through Boston College with particularly Guatemalan children and families in New England, who are facing the separation of their families. I mean, it does have a profound effect on a family when the father is deported. We've seen U.S. citizen children who, because of the deportation system, have been brought back to Guatemala, who are now growing up in Guatemala, even though they are U.S. citizens. In Cambodia, there are many young men who were deported there who have left behind elderly parents who need care, who need help, and now those families are separated. There's been a lot of research done recently about this particular form of deportation, which I call post-entry social control deportation. It's the form that applies to people who are otherwise legally here. And again, people don't talk about this as much as they talk about the undocumented problem, which is a serious problem, and that's primarily what the Arizona debate was about. But these other deportations are large numbers as well. And sociologists have determined recently that the effects, for example, on crime control of this form of deportation have been minimal. That, in fact, we've deported lots of low-level offenders, but it really does very little, if nothing, to control crime in communities. And, in fact, part of the problem with initiatives like those that are being undertaken in Arizona is that it's distracting police resources from real crime fighting.
So let me just ask you then, if this is an issue that needs to be settled for the United States, if this is an issue that's been developing for more than 100 years, what advice would you give to the incoming president, whoever he may be, on the most logical next step?
I think everybody pretty much agrees. I mean, part of the irony here is that there's not that great a debate about what the way forward is. We need comprehensive reform of labor-related visas. We need to have a much more organized system for allowing people from, particularly from Central America, to fulfill the historical patterns that they've always undertaken of working in this country, but they need to be within the rule of law. In fact, I think the rule of law is a good umbrella for much of this, but not a rigid conception of it. And so we also need to build back in something that was always a part of deportation up until really this transformation in the mid-1990s, and that was the idea of some humanity, some possibility of discretion, some recognition that you shouldn't deport people and separate them permanently from their family simply because, as we have done, of possession of marijuana or Xanax or ecstasy or various types of misdemeanors. And those were the sorts of cases that the Supreme Court had to correct. So we need to have a comprehensive expansion of the visa system, but we also need to build back in some ideas of proportionality and discretion into our enforcement system.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I hear people saying, that they will say, you know, these people broke the law, period. And what I'm suggesting is that really, after you say somebody has broken the law, even if they have broken the law, it's not a period, but it's a question mark that follows. We need a more sophisticated and a more humane system. I think that is consonant with our better traditions and would provide a better way forward. And I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll be able to do it in the next cycle.
Daniel Kanstrom, professor of law at Boston College, author of Aftermath, Deportation Law and the New American Diaspora. Thanks so much.
Thank you.